On January 21st, Dave Roberts talked about Hebrews 12:1, and he used the illustration of carrying a backpack that has unnecessary weight. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles and run the race that is set before you. I love how Dave applied that verse to his choices and priorities. Dave made it simple for me to remember the verse and to reflect on my own life. What am I carrying that's not mine to carry? What is hidden away in my heart, consuming extra energy? When will I take the time to recognize it and bring it into the light and get the help to throw it away, cast it off? On January 28th, last Sunday, Nate Harley shared Matthew 6:33, which describes the priority of putting the kingdom of God first in our life. He talked about trusting God in our life choices, managing our finances, prioritizing prayer as a space for connection with God. He said our life can be, this is my summary of what I learned, okay? So I heard that our life can be imagined as a jar that will eventually be filled with rocks, pebbles, sand. The rocks are the most important things, like our life and our schedule, as we create our schedule and our times. The rocks are the most important things, the pebbles are less important, and the sand could represent everything else. If we put the rocks in the jar first, the pebbles and sand will fit. If we leave the big rocks until later, some of them will fit, but a few will be left undone. So the year verse that I have chosen for 2024 has a similar theme of choosing priorities. Now Dave said, or I heard Dave say, what do I need to get rid of in order to focus on the race that God is inviting me to run? And I heard Nate say, how can I be more intentional about living a life of confidence and commitment to the kingdom of God? So after I read my verse, I think you might understand why I am calling this talk, Learn to Discern. Learn to Discern is a phrase I want you to remember, together with the verse that I'm about to share. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now remember, always, a verse or a text without a context is just a pretext, an opportunity to say what you want it to mean. That means it is always important to consider the larger context. A verse in the Bible is part of a paragraph, which is part of a letter or a book. It's an expression or statement that's part of a larger flow. 2 Corinthians 9:6 has a very clear context. Paul, the writer, is using an analogy from farming to talk about sharing material resources with other people. Listen again. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, these words are pretty easy to understand as they apply to giving. Many prominent self-help books teach some version of this principle. Here are a few variations. You only get what you give. To obtain what you want in life, first give to others. Your success will come from helping others succeed. What goes around comes around. Karma. Now, Paul is asking the Corinthians to give for their own benefit as well as the benefit of others. This is a universal principle that can be applied to many areas of life. So I chose this text to remind myself daily of how to approach my priority for 2024. And my priority is learn to discern. So what do I mean when I say my priority is to learn to discern? So I'll say a few things about my priority, then I'll try to connect it with this verse. And I'll finish by inviting you to connect one of your main priorities with your own year verse. So I want you to leave here today with the knowledge and skill to make a clear connection, or at least a model, hopefully, how to make a clear connection in your own life between your priority and your year verse. And so I feel this might give you a powerful tool to grow in this calendar year in an area that you choose. Why? If you can be specific and clear, then you can focus. If you can focus, then you can visualize the spiritual and personal transformation, change, or growth that you want to pursue. And if you can visualize it happening, then you have a very real opportunity to realize or accomplish your goal. So I start by clarifying my priorities. This is probably the hardest part for me. Life, my life, your life, is so full of activities, challenges, limitations, possibilities, that I must constantly work on reviewing and revising my list of priorities. Clarifying priorities is a skill that I am learning by asking other people for help. Like, how do you do it? Both Dave and Nate described helpful ways to clarify our priorities, and each person's approach will vary. Ruth Haley Martin is a spiritual director, and I try to read all her books. I have one here, you can see it's in English, this one. This book is called Sacred Rhythms. It's excellent, and I will be slowly reading it again this year. And it has been helpful in preparing this message. So I'll quote this author several times. So, I have chosen learn to discern as my priority. And now I'm going to try to answer three questions. What is my priority? What is my year verse? And how do they connect? Because those are the questions I want you to be asking yourself. So if you get lost in what I'm saying, don't worry about it. Think about your priority, your year verse, and how do they connect. Discernment, like managing a tablet, is an acquired skill. Part of growing wise requires the capacity to discern or distinguish between good, better, best, or between bad and worse. We must discern reality from imagination, appropriate behaviors from inappropriate ones. We must choose between information, friends, and communities who help us to grow, and those who do not. So what do I mean? And Ruth Haley Martin says, the habit of discernment is a quality of attentiveness to God that is so intimate that over time we develop an intuitive sense of God's heart and purpose in any given moment. That's a lot, so I'll say it again. The habit of discernment is a quality of attentiveness to God that is so intimate that over time, we develop an intuitive sense of God's heart and purpose in any given moment. Discernment is a way of looking at all of life with a view to sensing the movement of God's Spirit and abandoning ourselves to it, just as we might give ourselves to the experience of floating down the river. Now, Have you ever floated down a river on some kind of raft? A short drive outside of Jacksonville, Florida, in the United States, is the Itchituckmee River. I don't think Itchituckmee has a translation beyond Itchituckmee. When we lived there, we used to take 30 or 40 people for an afternoon floating down the river. The water flows from a spring. It's clear and cold. The park rents large inner tubes from tractor tires, or you could bring your own raft. Once, some of us chose to impress our friends and float along without any raft or inner tube. Anybody here ever been down the Itchituckmee River besides Lisa and I? Oh, you missed a great adventure. Well, I enjoyed it at first, and I pretended to enjoy it the entire time. I made it to the end, but about halfway through, I was tired of having to swim sometimes instead of float. I was tired of scraping my feet on the shallow bottom. I did not enjoy the underwater plants that potentially hid snakes or small alligators. And I was very cold. Being on a raft meant giving yourself to floating down the river, enjoying the view, swimming at times, but always climbing back on the raft to get warm in the sunshine. My river trip without a raft meant twice the trouble and only half the fun. At least that's what I told my friends, so they wouldn't laugh at me. In reality, it was about five times the trouble and almost no fun. I spent most of the float pretending that I was fine, but wishing for a raft. So learn to discern means to stop swimming in the cold river of life and climb on a raft that follows the flow, feels the warm sun, and gives me a meaningful perspective on the water below. Now, floating on a raft sounds great, but how do I really see that happening? So I'm going to go to my year verse. That's a little about the priority, now a little bit about the year verse, and then I'll try to connect it. 2 Corinthians 2:9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Paul was talking about giving, sowing, material resources. I am reflecting on what I give and why and where I sow my support. But I am not only limiting myself to money. I am thinking about my focus, my energy, my vocation as a pastor, my responsibilities as a servant leader, and my opportunities in this community. Earlier, I said that this verse presents a principle that is often shared in self-help books. But often, it is interpreted to mean that to give more, do more, grow more is better, always going to be better. Sowing generously can be misunderstood to mean always being available to everybody who feels like they need me, or to give to everyone who asks. Now, this is not in the notes, Dave, but our little grandson, Cyrus, has this phrase. Mama, hey mama, hey mama, hey mama, I need you. And Lisa's highlight of our trip was one day, in the midst of family, Cyrus said, hey mama, hey mama, hey mama, hey mama, I need you. So people need us, they feel like they do. But sowing generously can be misinterpreted to mean, since I have an opinion, I should say something. I've thought that. Actually, the reverse is true. Just because I have an opinion doesn't mean I need to share it. And just because I'm available doesn't mean I'm the best one to help. Sowing scarcely can also be misunderstood to mean that I'm someone who always says no, and then I feel guilty. Actually, the reverse is true. If I say yes to too many things, too many people, then I am stretched so thin that I am actually sowing scarcely. See the difference? I think I'm sowing generously because I'm doing a little bit for lots of people and places. But actually, I'm sowing scarcely because I'm not really present. And it's impossible for me to be contributing or giving in all of those areas. So saying no can be a gift of generous sowing to others as well. So I ask myself, before I say yes to something, is there anyone else I should consult? My spouse? Should I leave? Yeah, I should. My calendar? Say yes, and then I look at the calendar and I'm like, oh. My own heart to check, is this just an impulse or is this really a priority? What might be coming ahead that I'm not considering? I do not want to sow sparingly, spread too thin, overcommitted. I want to sow generously. Sowing generously requires the capacity to know who I am. What am I sowing? Where is God guiding me or inviting me to give, serve, participate? Sowing generously means that I need to establish boundaries. Why would I agree to speak somewhere if I don't have time to prepare properly? Why would I agree to make a trip if my family has agreed to other priorities? Why would I overwork to impress my colleagues if it means I'm tired and irritable at home? Why would I swim in the cold, uncomfortable river to impress my friends when I can have a warm raft to float along in the sun with a nice perspective? So anyways, thoughts on my priority, some thoughts on my universe, thoughts from my head, and now try to connect it. How does my universe connect with my priority? Our experience with emotionally healthy spirituality has introduced me to some practices and skills that have been transforming my life, my marriage, my ministry. For example, practicing regular rhythms of silence and solitude that include a weekly Sabbath to stop, rest, delight, and contemplate. 10 years ago, I said, that's impossible. Well, it hasn't. Now I wouldn't live any other way. Amazing how we can change. Another practice is to recognize some limitations as a gift from God to accept, instead of always viewing them as an obstacle or something annoying to be overcome. Another practice has been to be more present with my emotions. I'm still learning how, but I'm getting better now that I've changed the way that I think about emotions. I used to ignore emotions and minimize them as unimportant. I was so used to ignoring them, I couldn't even feel them. And I couldn't relate well to people who expressed emotion. It was kind of like floating down the river with no raft, numb in the cold, pretending that I had made a good decision when everyone else could see that I had not. Now, I try to listen to my emotions. I recognize and accept that our emotions are one of the ways that God speaks to us. I have been turning to wonder by asking, I wonder what my reaction, my emotion, teaches me about myself. How is God present and possibly speaking through my circumstances and situation? These questions are at the heart of Learn to Discern. So again, Haley Barton, this author, breaks discernment down into three foundational building blocks that we must believe to truly let God guide us. I'm just going to mention them, but there's some profound teaching here. But the first is, God is always good, and he desires good for me. That's the truth. And to believe this truth, when I understand and believe this truth, it gives me the inner freedom to trust the process. Trust what God is doing in my life, even if I don't understand it. Number two, believe that love is the ultimate measure of all things. The trouble is, love makes us vulnerable. Love carries risks, it has no guarantees. But God's love will flow through us if we will learn to recognize and receive it as it flows so freely to us. It can flow through us if we'll receive it. God does speak to us by his Spirit. You have to believe that. God can and he will speak to you. He is speaking to you. And he guides us so that we can learn to discern and love well. So as I trust that God is speaking always and through every circumstance, I overcome discouragement and despair because I know God is present even when the times seem impossibly hard. If I learn to discern in 2024, I will be more loving in my relationships. And I will know that is happening when others feel, people like you, feel like I'm really listening, emotionally present in the moment, in the situation. If I learn to discern in 2024, I will be more effective in my work. I will have slowed down enough to discover the rhythm I need to discern God's Spirit guiding me. I will know this is happening when I'm able to consistently schedule my agenda in advance to make sure the big rocks are in place before the pebbles and sand take over. If I learn to discern in 2024, I will be even more excited about our lives and future together because I am convinced that if I can grow in these areas, anyone and everyone else can grow too in whatever area you choose to pursue in your life. So I'm asking myself at the start of 2024, what will it mean for me to sow generously with my life in this church and in all the places where I have a part? I need the wise counsel of my wife, the church council. Thank you, David, for being the president. Our pastoral team, my friends, I have a mentor. I'll soon be joining a group to focus on spiritual direction. But most importantly, it's not all these things that I do, people that I ask. I need to learn to discern more closely the presence and movement of God in myself and the people and places around me. I return to this quote you already saw. The habit of discernment is a quality of attentiveness to God that is so intimate that over time we develop an intuitive sense of God's heart and purpose in any given moment. I truly believe that God has brought me to this place at this time. And I believe he's brought you as well. We have the privilege together to be attentive to him, to trust his goodness, his process, his guidance in our lives so that we can so generously being connected and present with each other. When I read my year verse, 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. I am clarifying my expectation that I want my life to make a difference for many people. I want to sow generously, to reap generously, so that more and more people can experience the love of God and be grateful for everyone who has helped them along the way. I want this church to overflow with grateful, loving people. I want my life to matter. And the best way forward in light of my limitations and possibilities is to learn to discern. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the privilege to be in a peaceful place in this little corner of the world, together with friends, family, and maybe people we don't know. Today we've thought about our family and friends that are in other countries, other situations, perhaps other paths in life. And I pray that you'll give each of us a renewed energy and desire to find your voice speaking to us in all the different and difficult circumstances of our lives, so that we can learn to love well, listen well, trust in your goodness, trust in these processes, and overflow with grateful and loving hearts. As we share this next few minutes of communion, as we come and take a step of faith and remember your great love for each person, I just pray that you'll hear the prayers in our hearts, that you'll have mercy for each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.